Hi, this is the Maverick artist Victor Hugo reporting modern art concert journalism for the modern art music movement. It is September 8th, 2023, reporting from the former Soviet Union, Republic of Georgia, near the border with Russia, Turkey, Armenia, and Azerbaijan, a camel ride away from Kazakhstan, the Ukraine, Israel, Syria, and Iran. My job is not to be politically correct. It is to witness, observe, analyze, and document the beautiful chaos that surrounds us all, so that future generations can understand how we got to this moment in time where we are 3 days away from celebrating an anniversary that never should have been celebrated in human history. It's one of the darkest days, and I'm so happy to have Dan Hanley back on the show. Congratulations, Dan. You did it as a filmmaker. I want to really congratulate you. This new movie that you've got, this documentary, was a long time in the making. I know it's been against almost insurmountable odds as a filmmaker. I realize what you've gone through, and I just finished watching most of it, not all of it, unfortunately. I look forward to seeing the whole thing soon and rewatching it again, because this is a film that needs to be watched more than once. And I believe that this film should be shown in schools, in universities, in grade schools, because this is the truth that needs to get out there so that this will not happen again. Dan Hanley, again, welcome. He is the founder of Pilots, 911pilots.org. And if you can just tell the audience the name of your film and a little bit about yourself real quick before we get into the specifics.
Okay, Victor Hugo, thank you very much for having me on the program and giving me the opportunity to promote the film. I'll just start off by saying I'm a U.S. citizen that lives in Islamabad, Pakistan. I'm not hiding out over here. I fell in love with and married a Pakistani 13 years ago, and I've lived here ever since then. And I would say that having lived in war-torn Pakistan the last 13 years drastically altered my perspective, not just on 9/11, but what happened in the aftermath in the Middle East and South Asia. And the film itself, it was through collaboration with a number of people. We started out needing, it's not a high budget film, but we did need money to produce it. And we had a woman in London come forward because we couldn't, GoFundMes are not available in Pakistan, nor is PayPal. So that was the first quandary we were faced with. And she came forward and said, I'll start a GoFundMe for you here in London, which she did, and transferred the funds to us that way. And then we had a volunteer on, I'm active on social media, and we had a guy named Chuck Huber, who is a professional voiceover person. And a 9/11 truther came forward and said, I want to do your narrative for you that I had written. And then finally, the producer, the guy that put the video and audio together for us, is a gentleman named Muhammad Anas Naeem, who lives in Lahore, Pakistan. So it was, and we had some technical advisors on the film, including our friend, mutual friend, Richard Dillman, and a couple of other people. So, it was a collaborative effort from all corners of the globe that brought it together. And it took us about 2 years, but that was due to other technical problems we were running into along the way. But the film, pretty much, the name of the film is 9/11, The Advent of the Ninth Crusade. We looked and we believe there were 8 major crusades, and we claim that 9/11 was the catalyst that enabled the Ninth Crusade to occur, this attack on Islam. People don't realize that, or a lot of people don't, I guess, that Pakistan is the second most densely populated Muslim country in the world. There's 240 million Muslims that have been here. They're second only to Indonesia. And me having lived here and seen firsthand on the news the atrocities that were occurring as a result of Pakistan's forced participation in the war on terror, and I say forced, I'll get to that in a minute, and what it did to this country, its people, and the economy, it's in shambles right now. But right after 9/11. Then Under Secretary of State Richard Armitage came to Pakistan and told General Musharraf, the dictator at the time, "You either support us and participate in our war on terror, or we will, quote, bomb you back to the Stone Age."
I remember that.
Yeah, he made that statement, and General Musharraf blinked, and the rest is history. 70,000 lives later, to the tune of $120 billion, here we are today. So all of that impacted me when I wrote the script, and I will mention that, and you probably know it's this, we go into great detail defining the difference between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism, because AIPAC and the Anti-Defamation League claims if you're an anti-Zionist, you're an anti-Semite, and we disagree with that argument, and it will probably be banned on most media platforms for that reason, because we do point a finger at Zionists as being implicated in the planning and an execution of the events of 9/11.
I'll tell you, that was one of the things that floored me when I first started watching your film. And right off the bat, like right out of the gate, you went there. You went where no one dares to go right now. And to me, as a filmmaker, I respect that tremendously, because you don't need the big budget. You don't need the fancy A-list baby-eating Hollywood stars. You came out with the truth, and the truth is not being told. So for me, and then you went into the whole story of the Crusades and everything. So I've not seen a documentary film about September 11, 2001, told in this manner. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's anything else like that out there. But that's why I say, especially now with the ADL banning and censoring the truth, they're trying to hide these wars, these crimes against humanities, these wars that are financed by the central banks, by the bankers. You want to call them Zionists, you want to call them Semites. No, these people follow the money. And that's what I'm noticing that you're doing here, and you're debunking everything in this film in a real dumbed down manner, which I really respect, because most people, when they hear it the way that you tell it in this film, you can't help but see it.
Right, right. Well, the film, if you remember at the very beginning, we say this film has been produced for those who still believe the official 9/11 story.
Yes, because, yes.
Because most of the material contained within the documentary, if you've been following the 9/11 truth movement, is fundamental. People will say, I already know all this, okay? It's really designed for those people who don't know the basic facts about 9/11, and we're presenting them, and we're trying to point out that 9/11, the aftermath, was a direct assault on Islam. And there's 2 billion Muslims in the world. And that's the audience we're trying to reach out to and say, hey, look, I had a guy on social media last year. He was a young Muslim from Singapore, messaged me on Facebook and said, you know, Dan, I'm embarrassed to be a Muslim after what we did on 9/11. I went, holy, could this possibly be true that people actually still believe that Muslims did 9/11? And I'm convinced that about half the world's population still believe the official story, either from cognitive dissonance or they just haven't gotten involved enough to investigate the details of the crime. So